John chapter 3. We're going to be preaching from those verses about being born again. I know this seems a little strange because, you know, here we are in the midst of all this that's going on in our world and in our nation. And Brother Derek, you're going to preach about being born again? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Sometimes I was meditating this week and kind of reflecting about some different things. You know, it's easy in these times that we focus so much on encouragement and confidence and strength, which all those things are needful, that sometimes we may neglect a little bit preaching some of the essential things that need to be preached in our churches, such about salvation, calling sinners to the Lord, or even times calling people the holy living or whatever it may be. We cannot just neglect those things and just preach all encouragement. Sometimes we are to be very encouraging, and I believe this church here has a good balance of doing that. There's times we preach and deal with different things, and there's different lessons that are taught here from different ministers. But I want to deal tonight with this idea of being born again. I don't know why God has laid it on my heart. I just know that I wrestled with it, I prayed about it, and it's just glad to know that God does give us direction, even when it doesn't make sense to me or make sense to someone else. When God has a will for a service, it matters. Amen. John chapter 3, let's look at this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. I'm going to read these verses, and then we're going to preach with God's help. This is a little bit more topical. I'm not just going to work my way through these verses, though I will be referencing these verses some throughout this lesson this morning. It says this in John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Notice verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? How can these things be? I want to talk to you this morning about the new birth, about being saved. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, I trust that you would have such an experience before you leave here today. If you're here this morning, and I trust many of you are born again, you have a little bit of a fresh understanding about what that is. But also this matters as well in our gospel presentation when we're reaching out to this world, when we're trying to encourage others to come to Christ. What are we telling them to do? What are we presenting to them? And we've got to understand as well, this is supernatural. This is a work of God in a man and a woman's life. And when God changes a heart, when that person accepts that, repents, and believes on Christ, there is a supernatural transformation that takes place in your life. And if you've been born again, how many remembers? You never forget such a transformation. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Fathers, we come to you in prayer this morning. We ask you, Lord, that you would come by and you would touch us. God, I don't fully know why you lead me to preach what I'm preaching here this morning and at other times, God, but you always have sovereign reasons for doing so. And I would this morning you would help us. Help me, Holy Ghost. Touch everyone that is here in the name of Jesus, Lord. Let your Spirit be fresh upon us. And God, let us have a greater understanding of this great experience of being made new in Christ Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. Being born again. or often a word that we may use is being regenerated. What does that mean when we use that language in our churches? Well, the word regeneration simply means is to be made anew or made again, remade in that sense. And we often use that word born again. And why do we use that word? Because Jesus used that phrase or those words there. Some translations would look there in John 3:3, where it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And they look at that and rightfully translate it even this: except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That word again there, or born again, is the word that means from above. So we understand that this is a reference to being born from above. It is a spiritual birth whereby God moves on the heart of a man or a woman, allows them to see the wretchedness of their sin, the beauty of their Savior, and to feel the weight of their sins. And in their belief, they will cast their sins upon Christ. They will pray through. They would surrender. And they would be made anew in Christ Jesus. That's what it means to be born again. Now, as I'm preaching this morning, we've got to understand something, that there are times in life that people get saved. We know that, but there's also times in life that people think that they got saved and they never did. It was just maybe they shed some tears, or maybe felt bad about this or that. And maybe they even said, "Look, I know my life is wrong, and I know that God is holy, and I know that Jesus is the Son of God," but they never fully have a transformation in their life. They never have that supernatural rebirth. We are living in a time, statistically, this has been proven, that in America we have seen, and we cannot see every man and woman's heart. I want to start there as well. I cannot judge a man or a woman in the sense that if somebody comes to me and they say, "Look, I'm truly born again," until I'm around that person long enough and see their actions or their attitude, I cannot judge that person right off the bat. But we also, it has been statistically proven, that we live in a time where people are getting falsely converted. What does that mean? That they think they got saved just because they said the sinner's prayer at 8 years old in vacation Bible school, and they never truly had a change in their life. You can get saved at 8 years old. I don't deny that. But you've got to have more than just a prayer that you prayed when you are a young man or a young lady. You got to do more. You know, there used to be an old method of evangelism, that you would go to the front of the church and you would shake or squeeze the preacher's hands, and he would know exactly that you're giving your heart to the Lord. There was different ways of, like, secret communication, that, "Look, I gave my heart to Jesus." I've seen that abused on so many levels. I've seen evangelism just so misrepresented in our nation. I've watched. I remember one time I was somewhere, and they said, "If you want to get saved, raise your hand." And thousands of people raised their hands, and the man just began counting, 1, 2, 3, 4, and counting. He said, "Look how many got saved this morning." As if that is the ultimate goal, to get you to raise your hand, to get you just to take a solitary trip to the altar, to get you to shed some tears, to get you to feel bad. No, that's not my goal this morning. If you're truly born again, there's going to be something that takes place in your life that you'll never forget. You'll point back to that day the rest of your existence, as long as you are in Christ. You'll point back to that day and say, "It was there at that place that I had a change in my life." How many remembers that place? Amen. I'm not always good with times and dates as much, but I can get it down to the month and the location, and even the spot at the location that I got born again. There was something that took place in my life. Thank God for such an experience. Now, what we're going to do this morning is first ask the question, what is the new birth? And I often do this because it's a common method in teaching. We start off first by telling us what it's not. This is saying, coming at it from the negative side, this is what the new birth is not. Number one, the new birth is not just a reformation. It's not just reform of ways. It's not just turning over a new leaf in life. The new birth is not just some sort of, "I'm going to do better. I'm going to try better. I'm, you know, I'm just going to quit doing this. You know the old saying, it's an old country illustration that the chicken thief, you know, he stole 10 chickens last week. I'm just going to quit. I'm going to steal 3 this week and everything will be okay. And maybe it'll get to the place that I steal no chickens. Hear me, you can quit stealing chickens and still not be saved. You can quit drinking and still not be saved. You can quit all these other things in life and still not be saved. Look, I know if you're saved, those things will subside. But if you're born again, there's going to be a change, not just in attitude and action, but there's going to be something on the inside of you that is different, and you'll know that there is a difference in your life. It's not just reformation. Hear me. It's not just becoming religious. Who came to Jesus by night in John 3? What was his name? Was he a religious man? As a matter of fact, if religion would save you, Nicodemus would be that guy who would be justified by his religion. I mean, most likely, I've read about this gentleman before by the name of Nicodemus. He is a well-accomplished man. It's believed in tradition that he was maybe even the 3rd richest man in Jerusalem on the council of the Sanhedrin. I mean, he would have been faithful in his tithing. He would have been faithful in remembering the Torah. He would have been maybe to the synagogue ever since his childhood. He would have kept all the feasts and all the sacrifice. He would have tied those boxes to his wrist and his forehead. He would know the Shema. He would know everything about Jewish religion. But yet when he came to Christ, Christ looks at this religious man and said, "Ye must be born again." Just because you're raised in church don't mean you're saved. Just because a relative of yours is in ministry doesn't mean you're saved. Just because so-and-so in your household drug you to church when you didn't want to go to church doesn't mean you're saved. Russell Moore, in a book that I had been reading recently and some other books of his, he was raised in the Southern Baptist Church. And he said, it's amazing in the Southern Baptist Church. He said, you're taught this. You come to church every Sunday. He said, you go to Vacation Bible School. He said, you go to Sunday school. And he said, the great goal is this, is when you're in Sunday school, eventually the Sunday school teacher is going to say, who wants to get saved? And when you pray that one prayer as a young child, and you never, he said, you may say a little prayer behind the Sunday school teacher. And he said, it was from them on. They put your name in the books, and from now on you're saved and can never lose your salvation. He said, doesn't matter that you grow up in your teen years and live like the devil and live in fornication and live in riotous living. He said, but because you said a prayer as a young man in Sunday school, you're saved. He said, but there's a fact that in the Southern Baptist movement, they have produced a generation of people who had never been born again. It's more than just becoming religious. It's more than just reformation. It's not just a change of heart. It's not just saying, look, I'm just going to have a change of heart today. Brothers and sisters, let me go ahead and move forward here. When you are born again, you pass through a personal union with Jesus Christ and His death and His resurrection. You experience something in that moment that is so life-altering, that is so life-changing, that is so powerful that you will never, ever experience anything else to that magnitude. When you are born again, there is a change in your nature. 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. It's that simple. If you ain't born again, you're not living. You don't even have spiritual life. And you've got to understand this. So that's the negative side. That's what it's not. What is the new birth? What is the positive side of this? Number one, the new birth is just that. It is a birth. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that have begotten him. It talks about being born of the Spirit. As many as received him, then he gave them the power to become the sons of God. It is an actual spiritual transformation of new life. Those of you that have children, you've experienced the blessed miracle of what it is to see a new life. And even though we know and believe and teach and preach and know it's biblical that life initially starts in the womb of the mother, but we also realize there's something when that baby is born in this world and takes that first breath in this world outside of the womb of the mother, you just see things. All of a sudden, there's a shock to that child. I mean, the baby begins to cry. The lights are bright and the doctors are twisting that baby every which way. Don't know what's going on. And if you're the mother or the father, you're sitting there saying, man, I wish they'd be a little more gentle. It's something else. It's a different culture to that child being within the mother and the womb of the mother and being without. Brothers and sisters, hear me tonight. There's something special about being born into the kingdom of God. The sun seems to be brighter. The air seems to be sweeter. Your neighbor, you can love them more. You love your wife more and your kids more. Being born again, it changes your life. It is a new birth. Secondly, it's cleansing. It tells us in Titus 3 and 5. According to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. This tells us that there's a certain sense of not only being born and being born again in the sense of a new birth, but there's also the idea of a cleansing. I mean, you feel clean when you get up from being born again. Amen. No matter where it's taking place at, you have a sense of cleansing. You just feel new. You feel fresh in your spirit. I remember, again, I can only reflect on my own salvation of what I remember subjectively, how real it was. When I got up from that altar, I felt like I was born again. I felt brand new. I felt cleansed from my sins, and there's nothing like that feeling. You may go down to the altar, wherever you prayed throughout and got born again. You may have went down a filthy, wretched sinner, and hear me here this morning. If you go down to the altar and you're truly convicted of the Holy Ghost and you're truly a sinner, you are going to feel bad about your sins. If you do not have sorrow, then you truly will not repent. You've got to feel the weight of your sins. Where does that come from? It comes from the illuminating, powerful work of the Holy Ghost on the spirit of a man or a woman, that they feel the weight of it. It wasn't just through reason. It wasn't, you look, I know a preacher may be used through the spirit. It may be a song, but the spirit is going to work and he's going to touch that heart, and you're going to feel the weight and the filthiness of your sins. And when you get born again, he's going to cleanse your spirit and your soul. Not only is it a new birth, it's a cleansing, but it's also a quickening. By the washing of regeneration, but also it says, and the renewing of the Holy Ghost in Titus 3 and 5. I remember what it felt like for the Spirit to quicken your heart and life. I know I've shared this with you so many times, and I don't remember how many times, but just the difference that trip to the altar made for me. I had a Bible back at the house, and I barely read it as a sinner. When I did read it, I thought to myself, what does folks get out of all this stuff? When I got born again, and I went back to that house, my roommate done left. We couldn't pay the bills. I done spent all my money. I was at my rock bottom at that time. And I remember getting that Bible out and begin to read. I remember it was a Matthew Henry study Bible. Anybody ever heard? I don't even know if they make them anymore. A Matthew Henry study Bible. And I went to the book of 1 Samuel and I thought to myself, man, this is good stuff. I remember reading 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, then going over to the New Testament, and I found somebody greater than David. I found somebody greater than Elijah. And I began to read more about Jesus and that man at one time I may have speculated about. I heard about my whole life in church. I had had an encounter with him, and when I read those words in the Bible, it was a quickening about it. The Spirit of God will quicken your spirit when you are born again. I don't understand these people say they're saved and don't want to go to church. And I'm not talking about missing church if you're sick and all that stuff. I'm just talking about some folks say they're saved, everything's normal, and you got to get them up in church. Thought you'd been quickened by the Holy Ghost. Got no desire to be around the saints of God. What's wrong with you? And you're saved? Right? Got no fruits of the Spirit. And you're saved? Have no love for your neighbor, and you're saved. You can barely get some folks to say they're saved to love each other and love their spouses, and they say they're saved. The Spirit's going to motivate you in the right direction. You've got a new nature. If you're here this morning and you have no desire for God, you have no desire for His Word, you have no desire for the kingdom and to be around the saints and be in church and be knowing and know about these things, you need to check your heart and make sure you are born again. Check your heart. Check your heart. He'll quicken you. It's also a creation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There's going to be a difference in your life if you are saved. Anybody remember when you got saved and you got around other folks who weren't saved and who knew how you lived at one time? Yeah. I'll tell you this. They say that your friends, you realize how many is really your friends when you get saved. I remember going around after I come back from that youth retreat up in the mountains there in Pennsylvania. And I come back around and some of the friends would call me and different ones. And I would tell them, and I ain't saying I had a lot of wisdom because I know I lacked that. And I probably still lack a little bit here and now. Amen. Oh, I can't wait to get glorified. Get it right every time and you make everybody happy and you'll never mess it up. Amen. But hear me right now. I got on back and I remember folks calling me and they say, and they're talking, you want to do this? They can't do that no more. Can't go here no more. Can't hang around you. Why? I got saved and I can't do those things. They say, well, I'm saved too and I do it. I'm just fine. Well, I said, well, that really put me in a pickle. I said, well, you are saved. I didn't know you were saved. Been around you 10 years. First time I heard you were saved. And they said, well, yeah, I've been saved. Got saved in Sunday school. You know, same old rhetoric you hear all the time. I said, but no. There's a difference in my life. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do this. I want to please God in heaven. I hate sin. And I hate the things I used to do. I'm not saying I ain't got to grow. I ain't saying I got to learn some things. But I know as for me, I want to please God. I want to go to church. I want to be among the saints. I want to do church workings. I like the potlucks. I like doing it all. Why? Because I love being around the saints. And I try not to share too much stuff, but this is all true. You know, I got saved. I had a girlfriend. I didn't love her. And she didn't love me. She thought she loved me. And my wife, she's fanning over there. She knows the situation, the story. Come on, spouses. You know there's always that one. And I remember one time she called me up. And she said, I'm saved. I said, you are? I didn't know you were saved. I said, how about this? I'm going out to the church to pray. She said, I'm coming too. I remember going out there and she thought she was going to some nice church. Lighthouse Tabernacle. Out in swamp country in Carolina. So cold. Oh, folks, you don't know cold. That old pine board church ain't got no insulation. Got a wall heater on this side of the church. Got a wall heater on that side of the church. And this is how it works. You turn the heat wide open. If you're cold natured, sit close to the heater. If you're hot natured, sit on the inside. And for some reason, my Uncle David's left this world. He always hot natured would sit right beside the heater and always turn it off. She comes out there, it's cold. Takes me 10 minutes to get the heater started. I'm over there, clunk, clunk, you know, it's one of the old pallet things, and it's so cold you hold it, and it goes out. I'll just tell you this, after the prayer meeting, she never called me back, and she never wanted to talk to me no more. Now, once again, I don't know if I was right or wrong. I just know this, there's help in the sanctuary, and I ran there. And I've had to find somewhere to pray. Like I said, I didn't have a pile of wisdom. But I know this. I couldn't keep living the way I lived at one time. I had to serve God. I had to do something different. Why? I was born again. And I didn't want to live the way that I used to live. It's a new creation. It's also a resurrection. A lot of times we think it was just a death of Jesus Christ on the cross that affected us. But no, brothers and sisters, your salvation was dependent upon His death and His resurrection. If you want to study that out, read Romans chapter 6. It lets you know you died in Christ. Yes, your sins, you died with Him there. But you also walk in new life. Just as He got up from the grave, He resurrected your dead life. When you put your faith in Christ, when I put my faith in Christ, Derek died with Jesus, but Derek came to life in Christ, and no longer is it I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. I was immersed in His death. And then the day you get baptized in water, it doesn't save you. It didn't save you that day, but no, it was a symbolization. Look, I'm going down in this water as a symbol that I went down in Christ, and I'm coming up in new life. It's a new life. It is a resurrection of life. You were dead in your sins, and Christ raised you up. Second point, that's what the new birth is and what it is not. Number two, the necessity of it. He tells Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again." Why does a man or a woman have to be born again? Number one, because they cannot see the kingdom of God without the new birth. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You'll never get a sinner to see the value of the kingdom of Christ unless they have been convicted of the Holy Ghost and unless they've been born again. I cannot get a person that's dead in their sins. I cannot just give them a Bible and say, look, find value in this without being, you know, the Spirit of God has to make this new to them, has to make this applicable to them. They've got to be born again of the Spirit to fully see the kingdom of God. That's why I get excited about things that this world doesn't. They think we're crazy, church. I said this 1,000 times. They think you're crazy coming here this morning. They think, why in the world would a man or a woman just want to go to church and hear teaching about a man who lived thousands of years ago? Why do they want to go there and hear preachers talk and teachers teach? I'll tell you why they don't appreciate this. I'll tell you why some even come to church and have no interest in this. Because there's some who have never been born again, and even some who have been born again who've walked away from the kingdom of God, and they don't have the same interest. They don't have anything in common with the kingdom. They got more in common with the kingdom of this world than they do the kingdom of God. Secondly, we have to be born again because of man's first birth. David would say, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Now, the study of sin has all sorts of theories about it, but you better come to this conclusion. You're born into this world, you're not born saved. You're not born saved. You may be born innocent in the sense that you are not going to be punished for the sins of Adam and Eve in that sense. You may even come to different conclusions about, I've got some that I know that have different theories about people being born into this world and exactly how it is. But you're born into this world not in relationship and not regenerated. You've got to be born again. Whoever you are, there'll come a point in time of the age of accountability. You've got to be born again. You're born into this world, yes, but you're born separated. You are not regenerated. You are born in sin and iniquity, and there's got to be this new birth in your life, and I cannot wait. I love seeing it when a young boy or a young girl, they begin to understand, even though they got sins in their life, but you tell them about Jesus and the good news. I love youth camps when them juniors are up there praying to God and worshiping because they're hearing the good news that they can be born again, and all the pain and the worry and the fallenness that they were born with can be destroyed or dissolved in the fact that they can know Jesus and have new life. It's one of the great blessings of even being a parent, even though my kids are not real old yet. My daughter's starting to understand more. She's starting to know about Jesus. And my daughter's also come to this conclusion at 5 years old that Chloe's not perfect and that Chloe don't always understand things. And there's times as you're explaining to her, my daughter thinks so much, her mind goes all the time. And she'll say sometimes, but one day we're sitting at the table, she said, "Am I really alive? I said, yes, you're alive. I said, what kind of 5-year-old says that? She said, I don't know why I'm thinking what I'm thinking. Her mind's always going, but there's times she'll come to you and she knows that she'd done something wrong. Sometimes I didn't even know she did something wrong, but she has some guilt that's upon her heart and mind. And she'll come to you with tears and she'll say, Daddy, I did this and I know I shouldn't have done it. And I said this to Bubby earlier, or I did this. And she's sitting there and I'll let her know, look, sweetie, look, there's things you did that's wrong. That's against the commandments of the Lord. But Jesus loves you and He can forgive you. And we prayed at times. What I'm saying is you got to be born again. No matter who you are, if you're born into this world, there has to be that new birth. There's so many verses we could go to. I think you got the point. We could go on and talk about different things, why a man needs to be born again, because a man is dead in their sins and they need new life. A.W. Pink put it this way, let us realize that the sinner is not just ignorant and just needing instruction. He is not weak and just need of invigoration. He is not just sick in need of a doctor. He's dead and needs to be made alive. It's a dying world out there. There's a dead world out there. And they need to be made alive. How do we receive this? Number one, it's not just through human effort. You don't save yourself. You can't save yourself. We don't teach moralism here. Moralism is the idea that you can live so perfect that you don't need a Savior. You don't need that. And that's not what we promote. Man cannot in any wise, either by virtue or effort of his own, bring him or herself to the position of divine sonship. You have to understand this. But not only that, we also must understand that the new birth is a gift of God. And the Holy Ghost is the agent. That's why it talks about the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's why it talks about being born of the Spirit. The Spirit of God comes upon us and convicts us and works in such a transformative way that He makes us new in Christ Jesus. And not only that, the Holy Spirit is an agent. God's Word is divinely a part of this. I don't know where you were when you got saved, and I don't know the story. But I'll tell you, there's going to be some portion of your story that's going to be tied back to either somebody preaching something, saying something, singing something that was tied back to this book. And when you cried out, how can I be saved? Somebody, either you already knew it, or somebody ended up showing it to you. You look to that Bible and it gives you instruction about who Jesus is. If you didn't have a Bible, you wouldn't know who Jesus is. And if you didn't know who Jesus is, you wouldn't have a Savior. And if you didn't have a Savior, you wouldn't be saved. Not only that, it is a divine mystery. We can't explain how God works. We've got some things in Scripture that we look to, some evidences of things that are going to happen. But I can't look at a man or a woman in this church or out there on the street and say, yeah, God's not dealing with them. I don't know. There's people that get saved sometimes and we don't even know it. It doesn't go down in statistics. It doesn't go down on the church roll. It doesn't go down if you're a minister and you keep up with your own records of how many have been saved under your ministry. It won't go down tallied in that chart. Why is that? Because it is a mystery and God works in different ways. Sometimes God convicts people for months and years. Sometimes God will convict a person just one time and then just a few moments or whatever it is. It is a mystery. God, Christ looked at Nicodemus and said, just like the wind, it comes, you hear? It, but you don't know where it's coming and you don't know where it's going. So are they that are born of the Spirit. If the wind's blowing out there, go tell me where it started blowing at. We got a hurricane. Go trace the hurricane. I know the meteorologists do their best and they got their technology, but have you ever seen those spaghetti graphs during hurricane season? They don't know where it's going. Boy, you ever seen them charts? They say, here's the models, and it's just a bunch of lines. Some of the lines are doing 5 circles. They say, we'll get it closer. The closer it comes here, the more accurate. No, duh. I'm glad they can get it closer and closer, but there's sometimes they miss it. What was the hurricane a couple of years ago? Anybody remember the name of that one? I guess it was that. No, Isabel, the one that over here, it was when I lived here.
I know one thing they told us in Riverdale. People were putting sandbags. I'm moving vehicles. I'm anchoring down stuff. I look out the window when they said in the middle of the hurricane, and I said, they've missed it this time. They said it's going to flood and told me to do all these different things. And I wasn't just trying to be brave, but I just didn't have nowhere to go, didn't have the money to go there. I had to hanker down and live through it, but they missed it. What I'm saying is, just like you cannot trace the wind, you cannot trace the work and the ministry of the Holy Ghost on a lost soul. He'll do a mighty work. At times, he never needs my permission. How does a new birth, how is it brought about? As simple as this. God does something. Is there any human responsibility? Yes, there is. Human responsibility is this. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, He's convicted you of your sins, and you see the beauty of Christ, you got to believe. You got to repent. You got to believe. And when you do that, in that process that is unforeseen to the human eye, it's in the Spirit. God has a way of miraculously making you a new creature. When you get saved, what does it do to your life? It makes you a child of God. I won't be much longer here. It makes you a child of God. Number two, it makes the believer a new creation and a partaker of His divine nature. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begot, loveth Him also that begotten Him. It tells us that we are begotten, we are made anew. Not only that, but it enables us to do some things. It enables us to have victory over sin in this world, to love our neighbor. But let me just ask you this in closing. I won't draw this out real long. I know some of this is very familiar to you. But understand this. In a day of false conversions, our churches must be clear on what we believe, what we teach. And if you're here this morning and you do not know Christ, let me let you know this, and you feel that touch on your heart, put your faith in Him, repent of your sins, and know that you can be saved and made new. If you're here and you are saved here this morning, rejoice, but also hear me, live like it. Live like it in this fallen world. We live in a time where it's hard to tell between the tares and the wheat at times. It's hard to tell, but let there be said of this church right here that we believe in the new birth and that we know it's real. We know that it's powerful. Stand to your feet if you would. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. You know, people often ask why Nicodemus did that. People speculate he's afraid of being seen. Whatever it was, that man came to Jesus. He's a religious man. He's an accomplished man. He's got money. He's got wealth. He's got influence. Notice he even comes to Jesus and said, Rabbi, calls him teacher. We know you got to be from God. I mean, nobody can do these things unless they're from God. Even says some very nice things to him. Jesus doesn't bat an eye at it. He doesn't say, oh, thank you there, brother. I was going to say Brother Nick, but we got a Nick over here. Thank you there, Nicodemus. He doesn't even, you know, somebody pays us a compliment like that, we'd be, oh, thank you. What's your name? Where are you from? Christ knows all things, is able to see inside this man's heart. And even all those kind words, his response, ye must be born again. That doesn't change, church. That should still be the clarion call of the gospel. We need to be born again. The next chapter, I'm not going to get into it. Nicodemus there in John 3 is a religious man. John chapter 4 is that woman at the well, right? Got two different spectrums of life. A religious man who needed living water. Here a woman is, been married 5 times in a horrible situation. Guess what she needs? Living water. Ye must be born again. Again, if you're not saved this morning, give your life to Christ. If you want to talk about it, come talk to me. Let me know what's going on in your heart and mind. We'll help you. But if you're saved here this morning, I would right now that you would just rejoice in that. And God, help us to be the church we need to be. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I've preached a very familiar thought here this morning, and you've laid this on my heart this week, and I don't know why. But God, you know why you laid it on my heart. God, I've preached it in obedience, God. I know there's times that my delivery may fail, God, but your word is true. Your word is infallible, Lord. And God, as I'm sowing that seed this morning, God, I would that it would take root. It would take root in hearts, Holy Ghost. There's some here that have been saved and saved for many years, and maybe they've lost the joy of their salvation. God, let them reflect back to that day they went to that altar. They knelt by that bed. They talked to that preacher, wherever it was, Holy Ghost, and you changed their lives. God, I would that you would remind us. Help us reflect on the day we went to the altar, Holy Ghost, and prayed through and got born again. God, convict sinners. If there's somebody here this morning that is drifting away from you, Lord, I would that you would convict them of their sins right now, God. Don't let them drift any further, Lord Jesus. Maybe there's some here, God, that are losing the fire in their salvation, and there just seems to be smoldering, God. I would that you touch their hearts. Let them drift no further. Save the lost. Touch hearts. God, we thank you, God, for your goodness. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. Amen and amen. God bless you, church. Tonight, Brother Matthew will be preaching. Remember, a social distance. You can go out this door if you want to. There's some exits in the back if you want to go different ways. But just God bless you. We'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock.